Welcome back to another episode of Back Porch with Patrick. My name is Alex Birchnell, and we'll be speaking with Patrick Potts, who is the senior pastor over Landmark Worship Center. Let's get into it. All right, so this is part two of the Apostolic Succession, two-part podcast series that we're doing on Back Porch with Patrick. If you haven't already listened, go to the episode prior to this. You'll get the full background on what this discussion is about. Now, this episode goes into the apostolic succession. It also talks about some things that might ruffle some feathers. Stick with it and tell us what you think.
Now, In you're gonna have, I mean, you gotta think at Landmark we're probably not considered valid by a lot of people,
yeah,
just because of the type of church we are.
They're like, y'all are a mess.
Yeah, so that doesn't mean anything to me particularly. If we want to get into that big of a debate, then what we can just start pulling out documentations and we can trace the lineages and see the.
But I don't think we're gonna fool with that.
Not today,
yeah.
Particularly, but you can do that if we want to get technical with it. It's a beautiful thing if you can trace it and say, hey, we've got apostolic succession. It doesn't make anything any more valid,
yeah,
or
sure,
invalid. To in my opinion, of course, I don't think anything in Scripture denotes that it would be valid or invalid just because somebody has an apostolic succession or doesn't. I equate it to a pretty certificate you put on the wall.
Yeah. That's, just all it is history.
It is. It just really is. It says, hey, this individual can trace his ordination.
It's like backwards. Genealogy of the church. That's all it is.
That's all it is. It's nice. It's nice. It has a place of beauty, but I don't believe it has a real place of relevance in the church today. Jesus gave the priesthood to all believers anyway, and so anybody who is a believer, born again, is automatically a priest in the kingdom. So I don't think Jesus was as concerned about apostolic succession once he was gone, or even while he was here for that matter, but as the church fathers became.
I think that's something that I struggle with because I don't find it in Scripture.
Right.
It's really hard for me to, well, I guess I shouldn't say Scripture, in the Gospels or
right.
anything. He never once says anything about lines of succession. He talks about going and spreading the word to the whole world,
right,
and teaching people.
Well, and this goes back to, I think we said something about this in the previous broadcast, or the previous podcast, rather, that Jesus didn't come to start a new religion either.
Nope.
He really didn't. He was a Jew. He was Hebrew. And he followed the Hebraic laws, and he did what he was supposed to do. He was, I believe, trying to revitalize and to revolutionize, if you use that word loosely, the Hebrew faith.
Sure.
Really bring more truth to it and to fulfill the obligations of it. But I don't believe it was, I don't believe in his lifetime that it was his intent to start a revolt from the Jewish faith to create a church that centered around him. We asked this question in Elisha one night, and this was part of one of your assignments there in Elisha, was when Jesus authorized worship to himself. And the reality is, anytime someone would worship him, he would turn it and revert it back to the Father. So even in his lifetime, he never intended for people to form a religion based around him. It was always to continue to worship and to glorify and exalt the Father in heaven.
You're going to ruffle some feathers on that one.
Yeah, I do, and it's okay. It's totally okay because everybody has a right to believe how they see it.
Yeah.
None of us will know whether we are completely right or completely wrong until we stand before him in that moment and we see him for what he really is. I believe definitely he was more than a man, absolutely more than a man.
Yeah.
He was the embodiment of our Father. He always reverted everything back to the Father. And so there are people who are adamantly going to disagree with that. And that's it's okay. It really is okay. I still believe that Jesus is the way, and that you can't get nowhere through anything else. But you've got to go through Jesus. So, but as far as apostolic succession, I think it is a it is one of the most ridiculous arguments anybody can have. Because our what is our focus? Is our focus on being valid in the line of men, or being valid in the line of Christ? Mm-hmm. And that's what you got to ask yourself. What are you preaching? What are you teaching?
For me, it almost goes back to being so focused on laws and regulations and things that were never even mentioned in the Bible, and it kind of borders on Pharisee to me, and in some way,
and
people that are just so held onto that that nothing else can be valid except for these laws or these doctrines. And I thought the whole point of Christians were to bring people to Jesus in any way that you can.
Right. And it should be. That should be the focus. I mean, if we're going to focus...
Infighting so much.
Right. If we're going to focus on who's got the right law and who don't have the right law, then you might as well take your crosses off the wall and put your kippahs and yarmulkes back on and put your tallits on and go back to synagogue and follow the law.
You'd be all for that a little bit.
Yes. But I think that we need to make sure our focus doesn't shift from the truth of what the gospel is. And there's a passage that the Lord says that, I've got other sheep that are not of this flock or this fold, this pasture. So it tells me that there are other people out there that were not part of the 12 that Jesus said are mine. There was an instance where the apostles came to the Lord one day and said, Lord, there are people over here, and they're casting out devils, and they're laying hands on the sick, and they're being healed, and they're doing all these things in your name, but they're not part of our group.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, well, leave them alone, because if they're not against me, then they must be for me.
Sure.
So I think that we get too focused on, honestly, religious control is what it boils down to. Who controls who? If we control what church is valid and what church is not valid, then we ultimately have complete control of faith and complete control of theology and doctrine and people's relationship with the Lord. And a lot of that, if you want to get down to the skinny of it, is, I believe, what a lot of that was for. It was for the church to control the aspect of the religious life.
Sure. I mean, what was it called? When the Catholic Church went and started killing off Protestants, what is it called?
Inquisitions.
Yeah, the Inquisitions. And they even went for Jewish people, too. I mean, that was primarily. But there's been such bad things. I'm not talking just Catholics. Just in general, Christians have done bad things. But when we start infighting... So I guess back it up. There was somebody that said the church was the Catholic Church, but my understanding of the church is just anybody that believes in Christ. We the people are the church.
So interesting enough, the word Catholic does not refer to religion as we know it. It has come to be synonymous with a religion or faith based
denomination.
But
or something,
the word Catholic in and of itself means universal. The church, when it was founded, even when it was legalized in the Roman Empire, was not called the Roman Catholic Church. It was just the church. The word Catholic, just by itself alone, it truly means universal, worldwide. And so to say that the church is Catholic, or the Catholic is the church, in using that correct terminology is not erroneous. It's not wrong.
Yeah.
If we use the term Catholic to in its correct terminology, usage the word universal, then we are all part of the universal church. We're all part of the Catholic Church. Now,
sure.
The Roman Catholic Church on a different is the actual denomination. And then you've got like the independent Catholic churches. You've got the old Catholic Church, which we talked about there with the Apostolic Succession. You've got the Coptic Catholic Church, the Apostolic Catholic Church.
So there's
Church.
Denominations got, within the oh, denomination.
They're as plentiful as people.
Yeah.
And so we do get caught up in that term Catholic, because people think when they hear the word Catholic, they automatically think and run to the Roman Catholic Church concept. And
just because it's the majority, I guess.
It is the largest of all the churches, denomination-wise. It's got the largest
following. That's what I was, so.
But it's worldwide. I mean, it is the oldest continuous denomination in the world as far as Christendom is concerned. It did not start in its early years, in its infancy, and even in its adolescent years. It was not what we see today. This is thousands of years of growth and structure alignments and policies and councils and all that stuff.
Sure.
And so,
red tape upon red tape.
Yes, Lord, I was thinking about the Vatican archives earlier today, and I want one moment. Just give me 5 minutes. I can't do nothing in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I want just to walk into the archives for 5 minutes and just touch the books of history.
Yeah.
Because they've been around for centuries. So, it's all about putting things into context. When people say, "Well, you're not part of the Catholic Church," well, technically I am, because Catholic just means universal. I'm part of the body of Christ, so I am part of the lowercase Catholic Church.
Yeah, sure.
I'll say that, not uppercase, not, but lowercase.
Catholic light, extra Catholic. Light.
Even if you go to the Episcopal Church, they use the term Catholic there.
Yeah. They do the Nicene Creed.
Yeah. I'm about to say, anybody, whether it's Methodist, Episcopalians, anybody uses the Nicene Creed uses the term Catholic because it's in there. And it's lowercase, and it means universal.
I never even than Roman knew
church.
That.
Yeah. That's all it meant, universal church. The bottom line is, We put too many restrictions and labels on things. And when we do that, we divide ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest with you, you and I were talking before this podcast, this is not a time in our world where the church should be divided on tedious stuff like that. Mm-hmm. We need to be a unified people more than ever before. Politics are failing us. Governments are failing us. Society is failing us. Commerce is failing. All these things are failing. And it is not a time and place, I believe, that the church, whether you are Catholic or you are Pentecostal, or either ends of the spectrum, that we should be divided on things. This, if ever before, is a time for us to walk hand in hand. Put aside the doctrinal deviations and the theological beliefs that we have independently of each other, and just walk hand in hand in faith in Jesus, because that's what's going to help our world, that's what's going to help our people, not whether you are, and I'll plug it now, we will do a podcast on the Godhead, and you'll probably get about 20 podcasts out of that one session.
Oh yeah, that'll be like a 3 hour long.
But put aside your belief in whether the Godhead formation, whether it's Trinitarian or oneness, or anything in between, and just let's come together in the unity of Jesus, because we all believe that.
Yeah.
Everybody in Christendom believes Jesus. The rest of that stuff, I just don't believe has any bearing on when or we make heaven or don't make heaven. Jesus said that, or the apostle, rather, Paul said that he that calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, he's the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. That is the one thing that matters. Everything else is man's concoction to try to understand Jesus and to try to understand the divine better. And I'll be honest with you, no matter how much we try to concoct ideas or theological concepts or even doctrinal statements, I don't think we'll ever understand completely God.
Yeah.
And so let's stop trying to figure God out, and let's look to Jesus and the teachings of Jesus and the life of Jesus, and let's live that. Forget about apostolic succession. Who cares? Who cares if you were consecrated by a man who was consecrated by a man who was consecrated by a man who was consecrated by a man 2,000 years ago? Who cares about that?
Yeah.
What are you teaching? What are you preaching? What are you showing people?
The fruit.
Are you showing people this barricade that you can't get past it unless you do A, B, C, and D? Or are you opening the gates to the flock and to the fold and saying, come in, whoever wants to come in, and let's follow the shepherd? I think that we need to get our priorities straight in Christendom, and apostolic succession is not one of them.
I agree.
That's my take on it.